This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy. Mike, I got a potpourri of things to go over with you today, my friend. I know you were jamming out.
I didn't know you knew that word.
You know, Mike, you'd be surprised at the words I know, like friendship and best friendship and all of that. Those are some of the other keywords. Something to think about for you and I when things slow down for you. Fun night last night, actually. I was watching the Cardinals game, and I was watching, or I was getting updates back and forth on the Grizzlies game. It was just kind of cool. I was sitting there thinking, okay, Trey McBride goes over the middle and makes a monster grab, just getting annihilated, but hangs onto the ball. David Roddy, I think, finished with 11 points last night. It was just kind of a cool moment to say, okay, both these guys, rookies representing Colorado State, you got a first-round pick, you got a second-round pick, doing some stuff last night, doing stuff and things last night. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing for Colorado State.
It was a very cool thing for Colorado State. Yeah, it was. That was kind of a big hit that Trey took.
Yeah.
And for him to still – and it looked worse, I think, because he was off the ground. But – you know, for him to hold on that ball, still secure it, that was great. You even go a little bit deeper, you know, David's getting his first starts. He's scoring. He's starting to get his feel, I think, more in the league. And then, you know, you got Ryan Stonehouse, who just continues to lead the NFL in punting. So it's just, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah.
A good time to be a forever Ram, right?
Very, and potentially all three of those guys could go on to have some pretty big names, not just for Colorado State, but in their respective leagues and everything for their teams. So I'm excited to kind of follow those guys along. I know, what is it, Mike? Is it December 20th when Memphis is in Denver? And I know a lot of Rams folks are excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think Memphis comes back later on in the spring, so they'll get a second chance to come back and do that. But, yeah, I know there's a contingent of people going down. The basketball team, of course, unfortunately, will be out of town at the time. But, no, I mean, it's cool. I know there are a lot of fans that are going down there excited to watch David play.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. More exciting news on the volleyball side of things, Mike. They have their new head coach. I actually watched – where's she from? Was it – I want to say Swink. Am I wrong on that?
She is from Swink,
I watched – she was close to my age. We watched her play volleyball.
Swink. You know where Swink is?
I do, dude. I'm from Cheyenne Wells, so we played Swink all the time. So we would play him like in football, and then we'd go in and watch volleyball before we'd go dress out and stuff. So I watched her play volleyball. She was a freaking stud. So I knew she was on the staff, so I kind of paid attention. Then when I saw the news, I was like, holy cow. I never talked to her, though. Very intimidating. But I did watch her play volleyball, and she's freaking good.
You were intimidated because you watched her play volleyball?
Yeah,
you were intimidated
I, well, I'm, I, dude, intimidated talking to women first off, right, Mike? But seeing her ability on the court, she was just a beast. She was a monster as far as volleyball. You saw it in her eyes. But that was a lot of fun. So that was a cool connection. Small world, but excited for her.
Yeah, you know, and I think when she was announced today to the team, they were very excited. I think a lot of them have, I mean, she was very much involved with the recruiting process of everybody pretty much on the roster. So there's a familiarity. She's still going to have to find her own voice. Like I've talked to her about it. I mean, she's been Tom's assistant for a long time. She steps into the shoes of a legend. But as she jokes, she has a very good shoe collection, so that'll help. And then you look at things, and it's just, she does. She's been an assistant for so long, she's got to find her voice as a head coach. And talking to some of the players, they're excited to find out what that voice is going to be, but also very excited to see what they can continue to build on with what's been happening, just with a new leadership voice at the top.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. I saw this message, too, from the football side of things, too, Mike. I mean, it's a tough day for football fans throughout the country with the passing of Mike Leach. I kept retweeting or reviving my Twitter account, whatever that is, and just trying to see if maybe some good news was going to come from that. But Mike Leach, of course, passed away. I read the statement from the Colorado State football coaching staff kind of collectively there, and there's a lot of connections between those guys, Coach Mummy, Coach Norvell, and Mike Leach.
or particularly with Coach Money.
Yeah.
You know, his dad, Hal, and Mike really built that air raid offense into what it's become, specifically at the college level. They spent a lot of time together. I thought one of the greatest things was that they said that they didn't pursue the location, they pursued the art, because they both really believed in that offense, and that said a lot about the person that Mike Leach was. But I know Matt really liked him a lot. He was a dear friend of his, mentor, somebody he admired greatly. And I think those of us, anybody that had a chance to ever sit down and talk to Mike Leach, was, you know, it was fun. I mean, he really liked to talk football. He liked to talk life. You know, I remember when, you know, Colorado State played Washington State in the bowl game, just getting a chance in the lead up to the game, talking to him about the air raid offense and where it stemmed from and the concepts, you know, based in like the old option and things like that, you know, just using the idea of getting the ball in space from the option attack, using it as a run game to doing it via the pass. It was fascinating. And he would go really deep, deep into detail about the things that he was doing and what he saw in the offense. And it's a sad day when really somebody that young passes away really in the prime of what he's doing.
Yeah, and, you know, just I like this, you know, as far as coaches that obviously were good at their craft on the field, and he has a great record, been to so many bowl games, and as you said, the history there of the air raid, but also just a larger-than-life character. Every time he was going up to the podium or somebody would interview him on the sidelines, it was always must-see television because you're like, what is he going to say? And I think that kind of stuff, man, that's the kind of stuff that sports fans, I know we love what happens on the field and the court and all that, but that other stuff that just builds these coaches up, I absolutely loved it. And man, just a sad day for sports fans across the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think I speak for a lot of people. I mean, you got kind of excited when you saw the next quirky clip across your Twitter feed of what Mike Leach was talking about, and most of the time it had nothing to do with football. I mean, you sit there and somebody asked him one time who would win the Pac-12 based on their mascots, and that was a classic. And then his advice on marriage, and how you should go about and you know, hold the wedding and things like that. Read some stories about why he thought an apartment building was the greatest place to raise your children, things like that. He would speak on anything and everything. He was unfiltered, and I think that's what people really appreciated about him. He just spoke his mind.
I just recently saw the coffee one, and every time I drink coffee now, I think of him because he's like, I don't like coffee. I don't like the taste of coffee. I just know what it does, and that is why I drink it. So every time I drink coffee, I'm like, you know what? He's actually kind of right. I don't really like coffee that much, but that's the kind of stuff. I mean, you start thinking about those videos and everything, and a lot of that stuff is probably stuff we all think about anyway. He's just the one saying it.
I think that's a great point. People that are genuinely themselves will say the things that others think but are afraid to say, and he had no filter. And it was cool. I mean, he was, like we said, he talked about everything, anything and everything, not just football. And I think people really appreciated that and found humor. Whether you agreed with him or not, it was funny.
Yeah, and I mean, oh, go ahead, Mike.
There was like conviction in what he spoke about. It wasn't just coming off the cuff.
Yeah.
These were things that you could just picture him sitting in his office thinking about. And then he was ready to speak on any topic at any time.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't think when he just randomly said it just for clicks or whatever, he's clearly pondering that stuff all the time. And then the mic's to him, and he's like, you know what? Now's a great time. Now's a great time to start putting that out there. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. The Colorado State men's basketball team bounced back on a nice win over Peru State over the weekend. And now they have a tough rest of the way on that non-conference schedule, Mike. Looking at St. Mary's, USC down the road, this team just trying to kind of battle back. That was a crazy environment, Mike, going up against the Buffs last week. We knew it was going to be, and then primetime showed up. That place was electric. That was a really difficult place to play, especially given the situation.
It was, but that's the moments that they come to Colorado State for. They want to play in games like that. You want to see if you're prepared for the moment. And unfortunately, the Rams weren't that night. They didn't handle it well. They didn't play great defensively, really, for the second straight night. let things get out of hand. So, yeah, the Peru State game was kind of, you know, get back, get our feet under us because, yeah, you're right. I mean, this does not get any easier even going into conference play because, you know, you're going out to California to play a really tough St. Mary's team in their place. Then you go to Phoenix and you're playing Southern Cal, and that's not going to be an easy game. And then, of course, New Mexico's 10-0 right now, and that's who you open conference with in the pit, and it'll be sold out. That's going to be another one of those environments where you've got to be up for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're finding out a lot about yourself right now, and getting Isaiah Stevens kind of back into the swing of things has been nice for Colorado State. But how's he doing, Mike? I mean, I was shocked at the announcement that he was going to be back as early as he was, but now you got to wonder, you know, is there some pain still there with that foot? Doesn't seem to be showing, at least on the floor, because he looks just as good. He had 24 points against Peru State. But, you know, you got to wonder, you know, how that recovery process is going now while he's playing.
When I talked to him last week from the story I did on what the recovery process was, he did not come back too soon. He was ready to come back. Now, he did say he was still rehabbing a bit, and what he meant by that was he's still getting his game legs under him because you can ride an exercise bike as much as you want, and you can get your heart rate up, you know, throwing around ropes and things like that. But it's different game shape, and he admitted that. And that's what he's getting back to. So he didn't come back too soon. He's not experienced any pain, at least not that he's telling anybody. And he looks good on the court. His decision-making's pretty good. He was not happy with the way he played against CU. Understandable. But they kind of went after him defensively a little bit with some traps on the side. Forced him to a couple mistakes you normally don't see him do. And that's something that you probably won't see another 5-6 games down the road.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, what are you working on that we can check out throughout the course of the week?
I'm going to do a profile on Emily Cohen, the person that intimidates you so much. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully after you read that, you won't be afraid to talk to somebody from Swing.
I'm going to try.
Which will be nice. She's a very nice person. I think you would enjoy her and think you would find that she's not all that intimidating. But really, no. So we'll do a profile on her. We took a look, you know, because this year is the 50th anniversary of Title IX. We did a series of stories and just some of the doors that are opening up still to this day, thanks to Title IX. And when you think about it, the last three coaches we've hired for women's sports have all been women. And as Joe Parker said, that wasn't by design. But he notices that the talent in the coaching pool is now much deeper because women are now very much part of that coaching pool, and they're bringing their expertise and their voice. And so that's part of what you're seeing.
Yeah, well, I'll look forward to reading that. And hey, maybe we'll get her on the show sometime soon so I can get over that. You know, I can get over those high school days.
I mean, you really kind of hold a grudge, don't you?
Well, it's not a grudge.
It's not even really a grudge, but I mean...
Yeah, she was a stud, dude. I'm telling you. I mean, there were certain volleyball players. There were some decent volleyball teams back in the day in my neck of the woods, but she was one of the names that came up. It's like, oh, here she comes. Watch this girl. She's amazing. And you watch her play, and you're like, holy cow, she would drill a volleyball into my head if I'm not careful. So, yeah, there's some flashbacks there, man.
But she's probably not going to do that to you if you interview her.
I don't think so. But, Mike, you never know, man. I mean, it's anything can happen.
Not that type of person. I'm telling you, Brady, you got to get over the high school days, the old high school rivalries. Let them go. It's in the past.
Swink knocked us out of the playoffs, Mike, my senior year. They knocked us out. So I dream about it. You know, it's a big deal. So I'll get over it at some point, but probably not this year. Maybe next year, though. We're getting close.
You got time. Volleyball season isn't for a while.
Yeah, Mike, my friend, I appreciate you, dude. And we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. We'll talk to you then. Because that's like the day before recruiting day, if I remember correctly.
Day before what?
Recruiting day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's oh, my so goodness. Exciting. Is that next week? Yeah.
Man, I'm so glad I'm here to keep you up to date on all these comings and goings. Because I think it's going to be a lot of energy, obviously, in the state of Colorado. That is for us. We're going to be able to sign a ton of people. I'm sure the new coach down at CU will be signing a bunch of people, and CU fans are going to be excited. So it is. To me, I feel the day's a bit overhyped, but it's still an exciting day for fans all the way across the nation. to see where a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds are going to commit the next at least 1 year of their life before they decide they don't like it and hit the transfer portal.
I know. You and I just need to have a long transfer portal talk because I think we can solve it. The two of our minds put together because it's absolutely chaos.
I don't think there's anything to solve with it. I mean, the concept of it, I agree with. I mean, you are asking.
I do, yeah.
17 and 18-year-old kids to make a life decision, and it's. And if you're basing it just off a football coach or a football program, they're doing it wrong. You got to consider, is it a place that you're going to be able to live for 4 years, and are you going to feel comfortable, and is it going to develop you as an overall human being? But still, I mean, you're going to find this out as your children get up when they're 15, 16 years old. Them figuring out what pair of pants to put on one day to the next is a tough task. You know, that's a big ask. And so you make these decisions, and you find out some of these places aren't the best for you. And if you look at it, college coaches can bounce at the drop of a hat. The next big offer that comes their way, they're gone. I mean, look at the Cincinnati-Louisville game. I mean, Brohm's going to be the next head coach for Louisville, and they're playing Cincinnati where he just left, you know, or Purdue where they just left. It's just kind of amazing, some of these things, or reverse of it. Let's see the reverse of it. Anyhow, you sit there and you look at these things and you go, okay, you know, coaches can leave. Why can't players go, this wasn't the best decision for me, or the offer's better for me? I do think where people are going to get confused down the line is I think they're worried that some of the best talent in the group of five, they're going to look at group of five schools now as like a development area for the power five. And when a player gets really good in the group of five, they'll be swayed to go elsewhere.
Yeah, and I'm with you. In principle, I love the NIL stuff. I love the transfer portal stuff. I just, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I wish that would have been a priority to try to say, hey, this is coming. How do we as the NCAA get ready for it and try to make their, you know, these regulations? Now everybody's going on the fly, and it's chaos. And I don't know that it would have been fixed 30 years ago if they would have planned it out, but it just seemed like here it is, bam, and now it's right. a lot of stuff out of control. Well, for big recruiting day next week, hopefully a lot of those guys for CSU, Mike, are offensive linemen that you can tell us about that are going to make an immediate impact as soon as next year.
I won't be able to tell you about them on Tuesday until they've officially signed on the dotting line.
Well, then maybe we schedule after. Mike, we'll figure it out. I have your number. I'll shoot you a text.
You do have my number.
You don't answer all the time when I call. You know,
I
get it's like midnight. It's midnight, but I'm just thinking. But yeah. I'll shoot you a text. We'll square it away, my friend.
Sounds good.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Seriously. Okay, Angel. It's like it kind of just hit me. So her name was Emily Heise, the CSU volleyball coach. She's married now, obviously. She was Emily Heise. When I watched her play, I believe she was a senior and I was a senior. And did you go to a big high school or a small high school?
3A, it wasn't too small, okay. Not too big.
So we were, in football, we were 8-man, but in basketball, we were 2A. And so I don't know how that stuff, I don't know how it works. But anyway, schools like that, Kersey, Eaton, they're like that. You know there's certain players that you just hear about. You're not necessarily following teams. You're following your own team and maybe teams in your division or something. But there were just names that were like, oh, watch out. This girl here, she's something else. Or, oh, this super fast guy that plays for so-and-so, watch out for him. She was one of those players. And Swink, Colorado, dude, small. I think it's smaller than Cheyenne Wells. And, you know, we get ready for our football game. But we'd arrive in the town or whatever. And we go sit down. Usually volleyball happened several hours before the football game or whatever. And so we'd sit and watch a little bit of the volleyball game. And so we'd be sitting there and we were like, you know, our coaches would be talking and you hear other people go, watch this girl. She's something else. And then I saw that she was an assistant a few years back and I was like, is that the same one? And I, sure enough. And then I saw the news last week and it was crazy. So congratulations. That's awesome for her. Angel, I did get a little volleyball breaking news this morning. It was actually crazy. My sources told me that Lindsay Oates did get offered the Colorado State job.
Wow.
And then she turned it down. Now, again, that's not like saying Emily's not perfect for this, but that's we had listeners asking that last week.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's an opportunity to move kind of up in some instances, but what Lindsay has done at UNC, it's kind of like, I could keep this going.
It's kind of a cool thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's choosing to stay here. All right, 12:41 the time. We need to get the latest on the local Sports Flash.